You know, history can be so strange sometimes.
It really can.
You find these pairings that you just wouldn't expect. And we're going deep today on some letters
Oh, wow.
between Lord Acton
Okay.
and Robert E. Lee.
Interesting.
Now, most people will probably recognize Lord Acton.
Yeah, the power
Yeah,
corrupts.
he's the British
Yeah,
historian
right?
who gave us the very famous quote, "Power tends to corrupt, and absolute power corrupts absolutely."
Yeah, powerful quote.
So, a staunch advocate for liberty.
Yes.
On the other side, we have Robert E. Lee, Confederate general.
Okay.
What's really interesting here
Yeah.
is that Acton, a champion of liberty,
Yeah.
actually expressed quite a bit of sympathy
Oh, wow.
for the Confederacy.
Okay.
And Lee, while of course a central figure in the Confederacy
Right.
after the war ended, became a real proponent of reconciliation.
Interesting.
So they end up corresponding after the war, and their letters reveal a lot of shared anxieties, I guess you could say,
Okay.
about power and the impact of power on individual freedom.
Makes sense.
But there are also some surprising differences
Interesting.
in how they view the path to liberty.
Oh, wow.
So, first of all, can you tell us a little bit more about
Sure.
why Acton, a British citizen,
Yeah.
would be sympathetic at all to the Confederacy?
Well, it is fascinating.
Yeah.
He really believed that the concentration of power in the hands of the federal government was a threat to individual liberty.
Okay.
So he saw state rights
Yeah.
as a crucial safeguard against tyranny, a way to disperse power
Right.
and prevent any one entity from becoming too dominant. He actually
Wow.
wrote in a letter to Lee, "Secession filled me with hope.
Wow.
Not as the destruction, but as the redemption of democracy."
That's a very powerful statement.
It is.
It almost sounds like he wasn't so much pro-Confederacy in terms of supporting their cause,
Yeah.
but he was much more interested in their structure
Right.
as a way to limit the reach of government,
Yeah, that's a good point.
to prevent that overreach,
Right.
to keep the power more decentralized.
It's important to remember the context, too.
Yeah.
You know, Acton was writing this in the context of 19th century Europe, where monarchs and emperors still held a lot of power.
That's right.
He saw firsthand the dangers of unchecked authority.
Right.
So for him, the Confederacy's emphasis on state sovereignty represented a potential model for a more decentralized,
Yeah.
less tyrannical form of government.
So for him, the American Civil War, it wasn't just this conflict
Right.
over slavery or states' rights. It
Exactly.
was much more fundamental than that. It was a battle over the principles of governance
Yes.
and the very distribution of power itself.
Exactly.
This is where it gets really interesting, though,
Okay.
because Lee, despite fighting for the Confederacy, ultimately echoes some of Acton's concerns
Oh, wow.
about the possibility of tyranny
Yeah.
in a system with too much centralized power.
That is surprising.
Right.
You would think.
You think,
Yeah.
okay, Confederate general, he's all about
Strong central.
strong central authority,
Right.
but it's not that simple, is it?
Well, it's complicated, right?
Right.
Lee's position is complex.
Yeah.
He was initially against secession,
Okay.
and then after the war, he really advocated for reconciliation, acknowledged the authority of the Union,
Right.
but even then, he remained wary of unchecked federal power
Interesting.
and stressed the importance of preserving state sovereignty.
So he wasn't just blindly following the winning side.
Not at all.
Okay.
In his letter to Acton,
Yeah.
he emphasized the importance of maintaining the rights and authority reserved to the states and to the people.
Interesting.
He saw this balance as essential for a free and stable government.
Okay.
And he even pointed to examples from the North, like Massachusetts, which had previously threatened secession
Wow.
when it suited their interests.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So he saw state sovereignty as a tool
Yes.
for both sides of the political spectrum.
Exactly.
It sounds like what we have here are two men
Yeah.
with vastly different experiences and different
Yes.
allegiances,
Right.
but sharing this deep-seated concern about the potential for tyranny
Yeah.
when power becomes too concentrated,
Exactly.
regardless of who holds that power.
That's the key.
Right.
That's a critical point.
Yeah.
This isn't just some historical artifact.
Right.
This debate, the tension between centralized authority and local control, it's as relevant today as it was back then.
That's a really good point.
think about current debates over things like healthcare, education, or environmental regulations. Mm-hmm. These are all areas where we're still wrestling with that very question.
Yeah.
How much power should be with the federal government versus how much power should be with the states?
It's amazing to think about these letters.
It really is.
Written over 150 years ago.
Uh-huh.
Can still shed light on the political dilemmas that we face today.
Absolutely.
What's particularly fascinating is how Acton, as a European observer, saw echoes of his anxieties about concentrated power playing out on the American stage.
That's right.
And then you have Lee, who was on the losing side of a war over these very issues, still held firm to his beliefs about the importance of balanced governance.
That's powerful.
So what can we as everyday citizens learn from this exchange beyond just the theoretical debate about power and liberty?
Yeah.
I mean, does this offer any practical guidance for navigating the complexities of our own political landscape?
That's a great question. That's where it gets really relevant for us today. You know, Acton and Lee's concerns about the balance of power, they weren't just some abstract philosophical musings.
Right.
I mean, they were deeply rooted in this desire to protect individual liberty and to ensure a functioning and responsive government.
Okay.
And those are concerns that should resonate with every single citizen, no matter what their political leanings.
So how do we translate those principles of limited government and state sovereignty into something practical?
Yeah, that's the question.
I mean, it's easy to get overwhelmed by the sheer scale of national politics.
It is.
You feel like your individual voice doesn't really matter.
You know, I think Acton and Lee would say, think smaller.
Okay.
Focus on the arenas where you can have the most direct impact, your local communities.
Okay, interesting.
Because the foundation of a healthy democracy lies in active and engaged citizenry, not just at the national level, but right here at home.
So you're saying instead of getting caught up in all the partisan battles of D.C., we should be paying more attention to things like city council meetings, school board elections, local initiatives.
All of that, because those are the spaces where decisions are made that have a direct impact on our daily lives.
That's true.
Our schools, our parks, our roads, our public safety.
Right.
And those are the spaces where your voice can actually make a difference.
That's empowering.
It is.
But how do we even begin to engage with these local systems?
Right.
It can be really intimidating
to
wade into those political waters.
Especially if you don't have a background in law or government.
Right, exactly.
But remember,
yeah.
our system of government is designed for citizen participation.
Okay.
Just start by attending a town hall meeting or a school board session.
Okay.
Listen to the discussions, get a feel for the issues.
Right.
Familiarize yourself with the processes.
So it's really about educating ourselves.
Yes.
On the issues that matter most.
Absolutely.
To us in our community.
Knowledge is power.
Right.
And in this case, knowledge about your local government, its structure, the key players, the decision-making processes.
Yeah.
It's essential for effective engagement.
But what about when we want to voice our concerns?
Yeah.
Advocate for change.
You made a good point.
How do we make our voices heard?
Right.
With all the competing interests and the bureaucratic hurdles.
I think that's where the principles we've been talking about, you know, limited government, individual liberty, balance of power, they come into play.
Okay.
When you understand those principles, you're better equipped to participate in the debate.
So we can do our research
exactly
on the potential consequences of policies.
Yes.
We could look at historical examples.
That's right.
And then really clearly articulate our arguments.
And you can connect.
Yeah.
Those big abstract ideas about liberty and governance to the concrete issues facing your community.
Right. Okay.
And don't underestimate the power of collective action.
Oh, yeah.
Organize with your neighbors.
Uh-huh.
Reach out to the local media.
Right.
Use social media to amplify your message.
Okay.
When people come together with a shared purpose, they can exert a lot of influence on local decision making.
This is really starting to sound less like a history lesson.
I know, right?
And more like a call to action.
It is.
It's really inspiring to think
uh-huh.
that by understanding these debates about power and liberty,
yeah,
we can actually empower ourselves
right.
to become more active and engaged citizens.
Absolutely.
Right here in our communities.
And remember, this isn't just about abstract principles.
Right.
It's about having a real impact
okay.
on the issues that matter to you and your neighbors.
Yeah.
Whether it's advocating for better schools,
right.
safer streets, or more sustainable environmental policies.
Hmm.
You have the power to shape your local environment.
It's like we've been given this roadmap.
Exactly.
For effective civic engagement.
That's a great way to put it.
A guide for how to put those principles of liberty
yeah.
and balanced government into action in our own backyards.
I love that.
And, you know, it's like Acton and Lee, who were able to have this thoughtful dialogue, even though they were on opposite sides
right.
of this incredibly divisive conflict.
Right. We can do the same.
Okay.
We can find common ground.
Yeah.
Work together to build stronger, more just right. more vibrant communities.
Their example shows us
yes.
that even in times of political polarization,
right.
it is possible to bridge those divides.
It is.
Find common ground.
Uh-huh.
Work together to shape a better future.
Absolutely.
And that starts with each of us.
Yeah.
Taking that first step.
Right.
Engaging in our local community.
That's how it starts.
And making our voices heard.
That's right.
But I want to come back to these letters for a second.
Okay.
What else can we learn from their exchange
yeah.
that might be relevant for us today? As we've been talking about Acton and Lee's ideas
mm-hmm.
about the balance of power.
Right.
The importance of local action.
Yeah.
It really strikes me that their exchange also highlights the value of respectful dialogue.
Oh, absolutely.
Even when there are deep disagreements.
Yeah.
I mean, here you have these two men
right.
on opposite sides of a brutal war.
He was
grappling with these fundamental questions.
Yeah.
About governance and liberty.
Right.
And yet they're able to have this thoughtful,
yeah.
respectful correspondence.
I know, it's amazing.
Trying to understand each other's perspective.
Right.
Even though they have these profound ideological differences.
It's a good reminder
yeah.
that productive conversations are possible.
Right.
Even when you have strongly opposing viewpoints.
Yeah, especially now with all the political polarization.
Oh, it's so easy.
It's so easy to just fall into these echo chambers.
Totally.
And demonize people who disagree with you.
Yeah.
But Acton and Lee show us.
They do.
That you can disagree without being disagreeable.
You can.
You can challenge ideas without attacking the person.
Exactly.
And you can try to find common ground.
Yeah.
Without compromising your principles.
Right.
It's about recognizing uh-huh. that even people we disagree with
yeah.
might have valuable insights.
They might.
That could help us understand things better.
Absolutely.
It's about really listening.
Yes.
With an open mind.
Right.
And engaging in good faith.
That's key.
Even when it's difficult.
It's not always easy.
And this principle of respectful dialogue,
uh-huh.
it applies
yeah.
not just to national politics,
right.
but also to our local communities.
Exactly.
When we approach local issues
yeah.
with that willingness to listen yeah. to different perspectives,
right.
we create a more inclusive and productive environment for finding solutions.
I agree.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into this really fascinating exchange.
Oh, it's fascinating.
Between Acton and Lee,
uh-huh.
what's the key takeaway? What do we want our listeners to remember?
I think it's this.
Okay.
Embrace that power of local action.
Mm-hmm.
Engage with your community.
Right.
And remember that history offers valuable lessons
yeah.
for navigating the challenges we face today.
Sure.
But also approach those challenges with a spirit of respectful dialogue.
Right.
Try to understand those diverse perspectives.
Okay.
Find common ground whenever possible.
That's a fantastic message.
Thank you.
And it really resonates with the spirit of this show.
It does.
You know, empowering people
uh-huh.
to take ownership of their communities.
Yes.
Engage in meaningful dialogue.
Right.
And work together to shape a better future.
And with figures like Acton and Lee,
yeah.
we can see that even with deep divisions and complex challenges,
yeah.
the pursuit of liberty,
right.
good governance, it's an ongoing journey.
It is.
It requires us all to participate.
So to our listeners out there,
yes.
get involved.
All right.
Make your voices heard.
Uh-huh.
Remember that the future of your community is in your hands.
It really is.
As you start on that journey,
yeah.
remember the power of respectful dialogue.
Absolutely.
The importance of finding common ground.
So important.
And the lessons that history offers.
Yes.
For navigating the complexities of our time.
That's right.